you for listening to this message from the North Gate.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, you guys can sit down. I mean, unless you want to stand, I don't care. Do whatever you want. If you feel more comfortable. Okay, well, gosh. I was going to talk about joy tonight, and then I feel like all tender. But we will really miss you guys, for real. And I was just thinking of what you guys even mean to Sam. You have been amazing. So thank you. Dang it. Crying it. Okay. Whew. But yes, I do still want to talk about joy. Even though our hearts do feel a little bit sad probably right now, it's still joyous. So I think it'll probably be pretty short. It's just pretty practical stuff. There was somebody, I won't name any names, that said, if you do keep it short, we will have a lot of joy. So I won't name any names. You'll bring a lot of joy. It wasn't my husband. So hopefully you'll be filled with extra joy by the end, because it probably will be short. I'm not saying. I won't say who it was. Okay. So last week, we celebrated Passover, right? We had our Koinonia service. It was incredible. So much encouragement, so much love, so much hope that's shared in all of the words, all the prayers, all the blessings. And I feel like a lot of times Mike and I were talking that we have Passover, it's amazing, and then we kind of just go to the next thing instead of thinking and really kind of cherishing what an amazing time and really honoring the words that we received. And how does that tie into joy? Well, I'm glad that you asked. So, what comes next? So, let's talk tonight about what I believe is ahead for us as a family and as individuals. So, if we could put up Kevin, I know I didn't give you a verse. Did you happen to give him a verse for me? What? Okay. Oh, 1 Peter 1:6. Do you have it in the New Living? If not, I can just read it. I mean, it's pretty short. But it's nice to see it. There's different kind of learners. People that see, people that hear, people that do, you know. There it is. Boom. Okay. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Actually, I like to read it in reverse. Even though, and I'm just going to read this one. You don't have to go to the next one. Even though you may endure trials for a little while, be truly glad, because there is wonderful joy ahead. And I think too often we use joy and happiness like interchangeably. And I think sometimes, you know, like, oh, that gift you gave me brought me a lot of joy. But really, it made you happy. It made you happy. And I really want to kind of talk about the difference between that and what joy really is. It's not just an emotion that's based on the circumstances around us, or an emotion that's based on like a gift, or when you have a birthday and everyone sings and you're like, oh, I feel so loved and happy. Is that a joyous moment? Sure. But is it really true joy? Probably not. And I think I was thinking, like if I was at work and I was going to deliver this news, this to someone at work, this feedback, I would say, we are awesome at being happy. Like, we're really good. You guys are amazing at being happy. We probably could work on the joy a little bit. Like, that deep-seated joy. So, I don't want to be like, we need more joy. Because we're amazing. And we're happy people. And our circumstances are great. But I do feel like the joy is kind of maybe where we could have a little bit of a deeper seat. If you're on my team at work, that's what I would have said. And then I would have been like, but great job on the happiness. We can do it. Let's go get them, team. That's exactly how I'm like. So joy. Okay. So as we know, joy is a fruit of the Spirit, right? We are all aware of that. It remains, it abides in us, it becomes woven into the fabric of who we truly are. So let me just read Galatians 5:22 in the Passion. You don't have to pull it up. It is the scripture about the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a full life of or a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Woohoo! So let me ask you, has joy become a part of who you truly are? If life circumstances come, does it shake you? Or do you still have the joy inside? It not actually abiding in joy can cause us to lose hope when life circumstances come and maybe they're not what we expected. They can cause us to sway. We can be happy for a moment, but what is your default mode? I think of default mode. I'm like, okay, what is... If we were playing like a video game, right? And you hit restart and it goes back to default mode. Look, I will beat y'all's butts right now in Super Mario Brothers on the original OG Nintendo. That's the only one I can play. But if you're playing a video game and you have all these extra things and you hit reset, what's it go back to? The default mode. So is joy, can you reset and have joy be your default mode, part of your foundation? Y'all don't know anything about the original Nintendo, do you? Skylar's like, no, actually, I don't. It was amazing. But so when you hit reset, you lose all those extra stuff that you got and you go back to your default mode. So what is your default mode? If the circumstances are happy, if the circumstances are sorrowful, you hit reset, where does it land you? Where do you land? I was thinking, Mike was like, well, what is joy to you? Or something that he asked me. And I thought, when I think about joy, I think about it's like the foundation. I think of life circumstances are like a storm, like the hurricane that we sang about tonight, like the hurricane that comes and things sway in the wind. But what remains is your foundation. And if your foundation is in joy. If we're anchored to Yahweh, then we have joy built into our foundation so that no matter what does come our way, we can still stand firm and have that joy. So I read an article recently by a psychology professor and minister, actually, which is kind of interesting. And she had done a lot of research to try and better understand joy. And one thing I thought was kind of interesting was that she said there's really not a lot of research about joy. So we know there's a lot of research about like being happy, laughter. JoJo mentioned cheerful heart is good medicine. We know that laughter can like boost your immune system, all these things, but not a whole lot on true joy. And then how can you increase your joy, which is kind of the point I want to talk about tonight. Like what can we do to increase our joy? So she had a few keys, I guess. What did you call them, babe? He called him something good. I don't know. He's like, they're keys. They're something super catchy. But so, yeah, she had a few things in this article to help increase joy. And then I added a few additional things I think are really good. So here we go. There's seven of them. Growing in authenticity and living more into your strengths. We hear a lot about authenticity. We hear a lot about our identity, being our authentic self, living in our true identity. The world tells us, like, you got to find yourself who you really are, but it's who you really are in Christ. Who is your authentic self through him? And in Jeremiah 1, 4 and 5, we're familiar with this verse. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. What would his authenticity be? A prophet to the nations. Everyone has their own identity. Everyone has their own authenticity that's been specifically designed for you by our Creator. In Psalms 139, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day has passed. So he already knows who you are, who your authentic self is. You tap in to what Yahweh says about you, and you can live in your authenticity and your identity. Number two, growing in depths of relationships. So when Toby said that, I'm like, yeah. Connection to those around you, connectability. We hear a lot about that. Thank you for bringing that up tonight, Toby. There's a scripture in Acts 2 we're very familiar with. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. I was reading a little devotion with Sam the other night, and it was about Adam and Eve. And it says, God created Adam, and he said, it's not good for man to be alone. So it's not good for us to be alone. He created us as relational beings. He created us to connect with each other. And more connection is going to bring more joy. We need each other. Think about the joy of a deep relationship. Think about somebody that you have a deep relationship with. And when you get to spend time with them, it's just like, oh, you leave that time and you're like, you feel good. You feel like your soul has just been like, whew, like revived a little bit. I was thinking about, Mel's one of those people for me. And I was thinking, a couple ladies came and prayed with me yesterday. So thank you to those who came and prayed with me. And at the end, Mel shared something really special to me and really helped to build my heart up. And I'm like, man, that relationship brings me joy. If I don't take the time to thank Mel and to just honor her in my heart, that relationship, I just wouldn't tell you that. Anyway, I'm getting all tender. That relationship just brings a lot of joy. So if you think about people in your life that you have that kind of connection with and how easy it is, it helps to increase your joy. I feel like it's so serious in here. Okay. Number three. I need a drink. Hold on. Number three, contributing to others. Generosity, serving. We know the scripture, it's more blessed to give than to receive. The greatest, also another scripture in Matthew, the greatest among you will be the one who always serves others. So if you think about a time in your life when you're serving others, that brings joy. I know Mike and I were just kind of reminiscing the other day about a time we were in Buffalo. Thank you. And we just were praying for people on the street. And he was like, remember that one grumpy guy? He like, his feet were, they needed prayer, y'all. You look at him, you ever see someone, you're like, do you need any prayer? They're like, no. You're like, yes, you do. What? Have you looked in the mirror? You do need prayer. So this guy, he clearly needed prayer for his feet. And we're like, you want prayer? He's like, no. And he's like cussing us out. We walk away. We're laughing. We're like, okay. But just that act of service that we were going to give our time. We might have given him money. Someone else we gave money to, but we were just going to serve our time and offer him prayer. Just that, even though we denied it, it still helped to revive joy in our hearts and build on that foundation of joy. Hopefully nobody was offended on that. You do need prayer. Sorry, I lost my spot. Number four, living more aligned with your ethical and spiritual ideals. So we hear a lot about alignment, right? Alignment, living more aligned with your spiritual ideals can bring you more joy. That's not surprising. So there's that great scripture in John. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands. For I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. My purpose for you, for telling you these things, is so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. So living in alignment with your spiritual ideals will help to build joy. I told you this is kind of practical stuff. But I really, truly believe that these things, because honestly, people ask me a lot. They're like, Jen, you always seem like you have such joy. What do you do? And I'm like, I don't know. It's just part of who I am. It's like whatever. Going back to the what I said earlier, it's like no matter what circumstances come, you can have sad moments. You can be sorrowful, but still that default mode is joy. And I think that's kind of like a little bit of a tweak in a mindset. I think because I think just the world tells us, like I said in the beginning, like happiness and joy is not interchangeable. And I feel like that's kind of how people treat it. So when something does come along and it's sad, and I know a lot of the stories in this room, we've been through some trials. We've had some things happen. We've lost loved ones that we care about, that we love, of course. And when that sorrow comes, it's hard to still have that joy. But even the sorrow will go, you can still have joy and experience the emotion of being sad or upset or those things. So, number 5, strengthening yourself in the Lord, building yourself up spiritually. God's presence in you. He literally lives in you. Like if that, it doesn't really get any better than that, does it? That God lives in us, just that alone is pretty joyous. So that's like one of the main things. If you feel like you're not experiencing a lot of joy, what can you do? You can strengthen yourself in the Lord. You can study. You can have alone time. You can go for a walk with the Lord. You can pray in the Spirit. There's scripture in Ephesians, don't get drunk with wine, which is rebellion. Instead, be filled continuously with the Holy Spirit, and your hearts will overflow with a joyful song to the Lord. So if you're feeling kind of crappy, like I don't have any joy, what's my problem, Eeyore or whatever, then get filled with the Holy Spirit. Spend time. Fill me up, Holy Spirit. And then what's going to happen? Your heart's going to overflow with a joyful song to the Lord. Has that ever happened to anyone? You're like, yes, you better raise your hand here, not to call you out. You feel just kind of crappy. But once you start worshiping, singing, praising, praying in the Spirit, all of a sudden you're like, man, and you do. Even when you can't sing, like my husband says, I can't sing, a joyful song will still come. It doesn't have to sound good to be joyful. Did you hear that? Okay. I expected him to say amen. What? I expected you to do like a little dance or something. You want me to sing a special? Oh. I had someone say once, like, you know, like oh my gosh, that's terrible. For those of you that grew up in church, you know, there was like that little lady that every week she sang a special. I had someone say once, it was a kid. He was like a teenager. He's like, it's not very special if it happens every week. I'm like, that's actually a really good point. It's not a special. It's just part of the service. I wasn't going to tell her that, though. I wasn't going to tell her that. She was special, that's for sure. All right, number 6, gratitude. Gratitude is rooted in the very definition of joy. Now, my lovely husband helped me with some Greek words. I'm not going to read them to you. But I know. Actually, if I put them in my notes, I would have. But I didn't put them in here. It was like caro. There you go. It was like caro and something else. But the root word, the root word. Oh, boy. I got to read the notes on this one. Hold on. Gratitude is rooted in the very definition of joy. Gratitude is rooted in the very definition of joy. The Greek word for joy is the awareness. Okay, the definition of the Greek word. The awareness or recognition of God's grace or favor. So when you think about joy, joy itself is the awareness or recognition of God's grace or favor. And then the Greek word for rejoice or be glad, which is kind of similar. And they had the same root word, I think. Yeah, to be glad or rejoice because of grace, to delight in God's grace, literally to experience or be conscious of God's grace or favor. So, show of hands, who has had God's grace in their life? Yes, we all have. We're here, right? Yes. So if you've experienced God's grace, just the awareness of that, the recognition that, yes, you raising your hand saying, yes, I've experienced God's grace in my life, that is a source of joy. That is joy in you. We're thankful because of grace. He's just too good not to be like Mel Mel said. Goodness, he's just too good. And number 7, holy expectation can increase your joy. Think about the words that you received, whether at Passover last week or any other time, or things that Abba has spoken to your heart. Think about those words and let them stir your expectation and your hope, because that holy expectation will stir up hope in you, and that can increase your joy. In Psalms 27, it says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What are you expecting? Do you have hope? Do you have joy? The joy that's going to give you strength, the hope that's going to give you strength. There's that scripture, Hebrews 12:2. His example is this. Because his heart was focused on the joy, this is talking about Jesus, because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. So he focused on the joy of knowing that the agony he was about to go through on the cross. That extreme, I mean, we can't even imagine that agony, right? No matter what life throws at us, we can't imagine that agony. But he knew, he was focused on the joy that, hey, I'm going to go through this because there's going to be salvation for all of humanity. And because of that, I can endure this trial. So no matter what, let's go back real quick to that 1 Peter 1:6. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, be truly glad because there's wonderful joy ahead. So what's ahead? What's ahead for you, Talani and Toby and Bibi? Wonderful joy. Wonderful joy. So no matter what we're experiencing, and I know, I mean, looking around the room, I know a lot of the stories of everyone and things that you're going through, but you know what's ahead? Wonderful joy. Yes, wonderful joy. Thank you. And I know that was short, but I feel like it was really practical, and I feel like to help us have that joy woven into our foundation. So no matter what comes, because I think most of the trials that we've had to go through, I think they're pretty much behind us. Like, I think that's, like, Passover is kind of like a significance. I mean, it's Passover, obviously, they're passing over. It's the whole, like, the actual, you know, story in the Bible, Passover. They're being freed as slaves. So I think that was just the significant moment in time where we could say, yes, those trials are now behind us. So what are we going to look? We're going to be truly glad because that wonderful joy is ahead.
Thank you for listening to this message from the North Gate. If you would like to donate to this ministry, please go to www.thenorthgateoh.com and click on the link at the bottom of the homepage.